What is up, everybody? I hope we're all having a great day today. So today's story, we have Jason here with me as my guest, and he's here to talk about this year's Fall Festival. Now, I haven't gone just yet, but I have been wanting to go, and this is actually really exciting for me. So Jason, thank you for being here with me. Let's just get into it, shall we?
For those of you who don't know, the Fall Festival is this yearly festival that celebrates this year's fall and every fall that came before it. You can find pretty much anything and everything pumpkin spice and apple spice related. Whether you're looking for soaps, lotions, drinks, foods, and all other fall related goods, then this is your one-stop shop. I think the really cool thing about the Fall Festival is that it's always held at different venues. Last year we almost didn't have the festival due to COVID, but last minute the St. Raphael Hospital stepped up. I guess they both had teamed up to have a small festival. The hospital's got this really nice mini park in the back where they encourage staff and patients to explore. So I guess that they just had it there. I didn't go last year, but I actually heard really nice things. Anyway, the Fall Festival this year is being held at St. William's Village. Pretty much, St. William's Village was this really small town that came to be around, I think, the 1850s. Anyway, it was a group of settlers who had made that land their village or town or whatever. They tried really hard to become established, but there were only about, I think, 100 or so settlers. They used a barter system for a good amount of time, but that only really took them so far. It was a struggling little village from what I've heard about it, but some kids went missing in the 1920s. After that, the town shortly became abandoned, but now it's used as a historical landmark. Brought my two friends, Connie and Zach, and right when we parked the car, we started our walk. The way that they had us go is from the parking lot, there were a series of traffic cones and little traffic blinking lights that led us down this walking path. It was really cool because we got to pass by some of the homes that were built in the 1850s. I gotta say though, it had this really melancholy atmosphere to it. Like, you know that the history of this small little village isn't necessarily the best, but here we are having a festival for it. The wood on the houses looked really damaged and even rotting. It was a sight to take in, really awesome if you're into history, but just couldn't get rid of that melancholy feeling that followed with it. When we came up to the entrance of the Fall Festival, we were greeted by these really large towering walls of hay on both sides, and in the center was this really stereotypical farm-looking sign that read Fall Festival EST since 1897. Now, when I say stereotypical farm sign, I mean it's got the brown wood to it, the white trim around it, and the black letters. Something that honestly would look like it came out of a 50s brochure or something like that. But right when we walked into the actual festival, that's when, well, at least my nose was just overtaken with all the different smells of the Fall Festival. You smelled barbecue, burning charcoal, burning wood chips, the smell of smoke, but you also smelled candy, lemonade, and of course everything pumpkin spice and apple spice. A game plan that my friends and I always had whenever we came to the Fall Festival is that we would always go counterclockwise and explore the ins and outs of the Fall Festival. We'd get an idea of what's around us and take note of places that we wanted to revisit. And then once we were done making a complete circle, then we'd go again, but this time we would actually actively go to the places that we want to check out and not just kind of take note of it. During our first initial walkthrough, we passed by a lot of really cool and different venues and attractions. Some of them were a leaf raking contest and a pumpkin carving contest. We also saw stands that were selling honey and stands that were selling different types of corns, as well as candied apples. And we saw a stand that was selling homemade lotions, balms, and candles. It was honestly really cool and really kind of gave you that fall experience. As we were kind of going through, we saw that they had a petting zoo around the area and an indoor marketplace. But what really caught our attention for a moment was this really cheesy and horrible reenactment. It looked horrible, like it was produced by my 5-year-old nephew or something. The actor and actress were just kind of standing there, not really doing anything. I get that, but the costumes looked goofy rather than historically accurate. They were standing in a pile of just loose hay. There was a scarecrow off to the side of the dude, and the scarecrow was sporting a weird smile, and there was a toy crow that was knocked over. Boy, I am sure tired of traveling 900 miles to this here land, the man said. Yes, sir, we'll build many homes and have many children who will call this place home, the woman said. It was really bad, but to be honest, I was watching it more for the comedic reasons than the historical lessons. Although at some point, these two kids just kind of ran up on stage and started playing around. They were just kind of screaming at each other and yelling at each other, running around the stage. And don't get me wrong, I love kids and everything like that. I think they're adorable. But you could tell that the actor and actress really were awkward and didn't want to be up there. So to kind of have those kids be yelling and running around all obnoxiously was probably insult to injury to them. Don't get me wrong, if you're a kid, the best place to play and be loud is outside, especially at a festival. But still, again, these actors were really not wanting to be there, and they knew that they kind of came off a little cringe. I'd feel like it was just kind of a little rude and a little inappropriate. But what really stuck out to me about these kids weren't really the fact that they were being obnoxious. It was more kind of what they were wearing. None of it really made sense. They were wearing these old looking clothing and were wearing these really creepy white papier-mâché masks. There was a girl, she looked to be the oldest, probably around 8 years old, and the boy, I'm not really sure, but by the sound of them, it sounded like it was a boy and a girl. But the girl's mask had this splash of red paint on it. But the Fall Festival has this rule about not wearing facial masks. I mean, with COVID, you're allowed to wear masks, but just covering the nose and mouth. There was a really dark incident that happened a few years ago, and due to that, everybody, kids included, aren't allowed to wear facial masks that cover 100% of the face. Someone get your kids, am I right? I told my friend Connie. What? She replied. To be honest, though, the kids were pretty adorable. I'm glad that they feel safe enough to just kind of run around and play around and have fun and just be kids, you know what I mean? I feel like kids are just growing up way too fast now and don't really get a chance to actually be kids, so good for them. After a little bit longer, we just kind of walked away and continued our little roundabout the entire Fall Festival. Eventually, we got back to the beginning, and we decided to go again, but this time stop at the numerous places we had picked out along the way. As we started going back around the Fall Festival again, we stopped by our first destination, which was a barbecue stand, where Zach, Connie, and I all got sweet potatoes on a stick. Now, I know it sounds weird, I know it sounds kind of nasty, but trust me, it's really good. the way that they cook these sweet potatoes and the way that they kind of glaze them and make sure that they come out tasting really sweet but a little earthy is honestly not a bad touch. Don't knock it before you try it. As we continued our walk, we came across this really big hay maze. It's just, well, pretty self-explanatory. It's a giant maze constructed out of just these really big blocks of hay. We were looking at it for a little bit, not really sure if we should go inside, but I heard Connie say, "I'll race you to the other side." I wasn't gonna say no to her, so I just kind of smiled and told her that I'd give her a head start. So she ran into the maze, and shortly I did. I felt a little bad for Zach as he was caught off guard with the sweet potato in his mouth, and we didn't really make plans to go through the hay maze. The maze isn't really that big of a deal, to be completely honest. It wasn't really much of a maze either, since most routes led to the exit route. Maybe if you're a kid, you'd find some difficulty in it and get lost for a little bit and probably get yourself turned around, but after about 5 minutes or so, you'd pop out the other end. If you're an adult, you'd still find it somewhat difficult. It's not really meant for adults, it's more for kids. It's one of those mazes that has quotation marks around it, like it's just meant for kids, you know what I mean? For adults, it's just kind of like, oh, that was cool. You'd come across the occasional dead end, but nothing really too crazy. The hay maze was really stupid, but to be honest, it was actually a little bit of fun too. I came to this dead end and I was about to turn around, but the weirdest thing happened. I turned around and all of a sudden the sun got covered up and it became really gloomy in the area. And I blinked and the hay was gone and I couldn't hear any people talking, laughing, nothing. I just heard a cold wind and I was on this dirt path and there were homes around me. I didn't really exactly know where I was, but it was getting darker, although I remember that we got here around 2 p.m. It should still be a few hours until the sun started going down. I turned around again to try to figure out exactly where I was, and I saw this pregnant woman with two children off of the distance. She was kind of leaning over a little bit, had one hand on her knee to kind of get a little bit of eye level with them, with one hand under her belly. She looked like she was talking to them, but I don't know what she was saying. I saw her hand the two kids a mask. They gave her a hug and they ran off. They started running at me, like not at me, but in my direction. They put the masks on and that's when I recognized them. Those look exactly like the two kids I saw in the reenactment. They even sounded the same as they were laughing and screaming at each other. They ran right past me and didn't even seem like they noticed me, and as I turned around, I was back in reality. I looked around for a second, trying to kind of get an idea of what just happened, and then I saw the little girl from that vision jump out in front of me, and she just screamed boo, and she had her hands out, like finger claws or whatever you would call it, as if she was trying to look scary, and she just giggled and ran off. I just kind of got out of there and met up with Connie and Zach, and we just kept walking. I was legitimately thinking about telling Connie or Zach, but I don't want to sound weird or anything. Connie and I have been talking for a while, and we started talking as friends, but, well, now I just don't want to ruin anything. As we continued walking, we came across this open fence area with ropes and stands in place to create a sort of path to walk through. It was like a dirt path, and us and a small group of random people took the trail. It was really nice because we were able to see more of the abandoned homes and structures of the old town. It looked like some of the homes were rotting and some of the homes were rusted over. You saw broken down signs that said knitting supplies or drugstore or something like that. I think it was really cool that you were able to see that whenever there was mud on the area, a lot of people were walking through, and you can still see the tire marks from the buggies, the footprints of the people walking through and the horses. So there's a lot of history around the area, and you're able to kind of see which paths they took most. I thought it was honestly really cool. But there was another part of it that did seem kind of, I don't know, a little depressing, I guess you could say. There were black and white pictures of residents from the late 1890s. And they looked really miserable and unhappy. Some images showed farmers and animals. Others showed families posing, while other pictures showed farmers covered in dirt with their kids standing next to them smoking cigarettes. "How wholesome is that?" Connie said. "Nothing like sharing a cigarette break with your son, huh?" She followed. "Yeah. It's really depressing to see, actually," I said. "Yeah," she replied. "Have you heard of this village and how it got deserted?" She followed. I'm not really sure. I know that there was an abduction or a murder or something like that, right?" "Kind of. It was kind of a cocktail of things," she replied. "It was a complete barter system with this town. Everybody knew everybody, and everybody traded goods and services with everybody. So they really didn't make too much money, and so they couldn't really afford to go into town for anything. The only money that they made is whenever people were passing by and would stay the night at the schoolhouse. All the money that they made from this town really had to be used wisely. They tried to renovate things here and there later on in the 20s, but nothing really too much. Just tried to renovate the homes, the schoolhouse, and some of the stores. But honestly, the biggest issue that they had was security. They had designated appointees to be like police officers or something, but there was no order with it. They just kind of trusted these people to keep them safe. Their real security and their best security came with strength of numbers. But as soon as that was compromised, nobody really trusted each other. I mean, how are you going to live in a small town where there's only 100 people and you can't trust your neighbor? You know what I mean? So little by little, people started trickling out until one day the last person left, and few years after that, the village became a historical landmark. We kept walking and we were just looking at the different sites. We saw a bunch of rundown shacks that used to be stores and a bunch of rundown homes that used to actually house families. To think that people used to live here. Just completely crazy. As we were passing by, we saw the schoolhouse. The schoolhouse was really popularly used back then. During the day, it was a schoolhouse. Later on, it was a courtroom, and we do know that visitors would stay in there as a hotel for the night, and people conducted business. A lot of people were in and out of there, but I saw those two kids again in the distance, but their backs were turned towards me. They were just staring at the wall. The schoolhouse, not really examining it, not looking at it, not anything. They were staring at one particular spot. As we were walking by, I swear, I saw the little girl turn to me. And she still has that red smear on her mask. After we came out from the other side, we were greeted by this really large building. Connie, Zach, and I went inside, and it was like a little mini mart in there. Just a bunch of little booths and displays up there. There was a small little bakery where you can make your own mini pies. An area where you can make your own candied apples. And one of my favorite spots was actually this marshmallow stand called Do You Want S'more? Pretty much what it is you get this really big marshmallow and it's like four times coated in like chocolate coating, and you could choose what kind of toppings you want on there. And there are even these different types of graham crackers that you can buy to go with it. It's supposed to be almost like an instant s'more or something like that. I thought it was really great though. Connie, Zach, and I were in this line to buy pakes. A pake is a pie and a cake mixed together. I guess it's like these little cupcakes with mini pies inside of them. We were waiting in line, and I was just kind of looking around, just out of curiosity as to maybe I missed a stand, or maybe there's something that I want to explore or check out. And as I was looking, something caught my eye. I saw this man in the distance, this kind of shadowy figure, and he started walking to me. He was probably about 30 feet off. And he was just walking. Although the closer he was getting to me, the more I was seeing that it was nighttime behind him. Not pitch black, but like nighttime. I saw this dirt road behind him, and I could hear the sound of that howling wind again. He was approaching me again closer, and it was getting darker. He was probably about 10 feet away from me at this point, and I saw in his hands, he was holding a rope, and he had blood on his hands. I looked up at his face, and he had a mask on. It was all white,
you're being too loud,
creepy looking boy. Mask,
not a problem.
With a smear of blood on his face. He passed by me, as if he didn't even notice me. I turned around, and I was back in the mini mart. I was back at the fall festival. I was back around people. I had to kind of take a second to kind of take in everything that I just saw and experienced. By this point, we were just walking around getting ready to leave the festival, and Connie and Zach were both kind of pestering me, asking me what's wrong, and I just kind of summed it up to a stomachache. Whether they believed it or not, I really didn't care, honestly. I just kind of wanted to leave. I didn't want to ruin everybody's fun, so I just kind of stuck it out, but I was just really recluse at that point, just to myself. As we were walking, we started seeing more old homes, and at this point I really just didn't kind of want to look at them anymore. I just kind of wanted to get out of there. On the way out, before we hit the exit, we came across a plaque. Zach ran up to it, and so did Connie, so I guess I had to as well to kind of keep face, you know? We got up to the plaque, and we noticed that there was a house behind it. The house looked like it was rotting. It looked like it's been broken down. It looked like there was some renovation done to it recently, but just not really that much to it. It didn't look like it was renovation that happened in the 20s, but it just looked like people were trying to keep it up because of some historical value or something, but didn't want to touch it up too much. The plaque read, "This mural is dedicated to the family stricken with a burden no family should bear. In dedication to Bethany and Samuel Hofstede, beloved children of Gretchen Hofstede, may they lay in rest until paradise forevermore." This is the home of those children. I looked at the old rundown shack of a home and couldn't help but think about what the kids may have done as daily activities. Did they look out that window I'm looking in? Did they sit on the porch and watch as the sun went down? I meditated on the children for a moment, and that's when it kind of struck me. The children were killed in the 1920s, and that's the same time that they started renovations on the village. The man said he knew where to put them, and I remember seeing them staring at the schoolhouse, focused on a single point. I think that's where they are, buried in the walls of the schoolhouse.
I think that's one of the biggest tragedies, when a parent has to bury their kids. On another note, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you to all of you who are tuning in this week. Come back next time where I've got a killer Thanksgiving episode for us, okay? I'll see you all next time, and do me a favor and have yourselves a great day, okay? See you next time.